We're going to flip the page and go to some of our favorite people down at First Liberty. Keith, tell me about First Liberty and how good they are.
First Liberty in Texas, and they are one of the premier defenders of our Christian faith as it comes under fire in the courts.
Our good friends Matt Krause and Mike Berry are there, but today we get to talk to Danielle. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning. How is everyone?
Oh. Well, you know what? We're great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Well, I got the note from Luke yesterday, and here's what it said, Keith. New regulations from the Department of Veterans Affairs regarding reproductive health services. There's that word again, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Recognize nationwide religious accommodation process for VA employees with religious objections. What happened, Danielle?
So we had filed a case on behalf of a VA nurse practitioner back in December of 2022. So in September, so if you all recall, Dobbs was decided. And then in September of that year, the Biden administration implemented this interim final rule where they said, okay, well, now VA facilities are going to be able to provide abortion services and counseling services to veterans and their beneficiaries. And that had never been a thing at the VA medical facilities before. In fact, there was a prohibition on it for 30 years. So we then had Ms. Carter, so that's our client, who was at the Texas VA facility down near Waco, and she had twice requested a religious accommodation to not participate in providing any abortion services, and she was told that an accommodation process didn't exist. So then we filed a federal lawsuit, and as a result of that lawsuit in January, specifically what the final rule says, January 6, 2023, the VA implemented a memorandum that to have a nationwide religious accommodation process for providers. And what we're seeing is that yesterday the final rule was implemented, and the VA regulations on this issue account for religious accommodations, and that's all because of Ms. Carter's case.
That's awesome, but I understand, I guess, from what you're saying, that the VA does do this procedure, and do our tax dollars pay for that?
That's our understanding.
But if an employee says, you know what, I don't agree with that because of my faith, they can opt out and not be involved in that part of the procedure, right?
Correct. They can file a request for a religious accommodation. Now, I mean, how that looks and how that's granted, that all depends on where the individual works, what the least restrictive means would be. So can they go to another job? Can they actually not perform those services? But nonetheless, at least the final version of this rule accounts for people who have religious needs that need to be accommodated.
How long has the VA performed abortions?
So according to publicly available information at the time we were filing our case, it looks like they had started around October. Now, the number of abortion services or abortions that were being performed, I don't have that information,
right.
But the VA was making it known that they were, immediately providing those services and advertising them.
Seems interesting to me that the Supreme Court overruled Roe versus Wade, that threw it back to the states, but there's no state involved for a VA to vote. I mean,
Danielle, I grew up on a farm in northeast Missouri, and I'm going to paint you a picture. You can have the hogs all pinned up, but when the hogs break out of a gate, they go hog
wild.
It seems to me the Biden administration have gone hog wild after this abortion decision. Any way we can, in the name of, in the press release, Keith, may I read it to you again?
Sure.
Reproductive health services.
Absolutely.
It's abortion. And I believe it was Henry Hyde. That had the Hyde Amendment. Is that the right one, Danielle?
I believe so.
But now, my goodness sakes alive, just step up to the pump and we get ready to vote. And they're making an abortion a big, big voting thing for this year.
And it didn't start with the VA until after that September decision.
Correct. Figure that out.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Danielle, give me your last name.
Runyon.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I said that right, because looking at my notes, because you're going to join the company of people like Mike Berry, Matt Krause, and others from First Liberty. Do you work in the Texas office?
I do, yes.
Well, Keith.
There you go.
Tell her what's down the street.
Well, yeah, if you go over by Nebraska Furniture, next door is construction going on, a Fritz's Adventure. And I don't know if you have kiddos or not, but if you do, when that opens, you make sure you go, because it will be amazing inside, everything a kiddo would want to climb on.
Oh, that's great. Yes, we'll absolutely make a visit there.
Well, you can ask Matt, because that's my son that's building it, and he's one of the owners of that adventure, and Matt was there for the grand opening. We just love what you guys do, and I love it when somebody comes on our program from First Liberty and they know us pretty well.
Absolutely.
They told me her time restraints.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's only got X minutes.
Okay. Have we exceeded?
Oh, no. I'm looking at it. I'm making sure that we're good.
All right.
Danielle, what else are you working on?
Well, so I'm in the military affairs practice group, so we have a case with a member of the Space Force. Right now, that's being litigated in federal court. He was punished for his religiously motivated speech in his off-duty capacity, so we have that case that's going on. We still have the Navy SEALs case that's going on. Right. Our case was determined to be not moot. So that case continues. I think we're the only case that's litigating this issue on behalf of military members that is not moot, so that's very significant. And really, we're helping thousands of service members every day with the inquiries that they submit to us, and we have a couple cases in the queue, a couple matters in the queue that we're looking at. With an eye towards, you know, if they're not resolved, then we're going to have to litigate those issues too. But we're doing great, and, you know, we're first in the fight to defend the religious liberty rights of our service members and individuals in the workplace and churches, and you guys know all the stuff, the great stuff. Sure. That we do. And if anybody wants to read about what we have going on, firstliberty.org is the best place to go and do that. We update that page, that site, every single day, and we have movement on our cases every single day, and we've had a lot of significant wins. So what I would say to people is, you know, while these times may seem discouraging, to see what's going on in the world, to see what's going on in our nation, to see how the executive branch is wielding their power and implementing these rules and regulations without using the appropriate congressional process, we are succeeding on these cases and in the judiciary. So if everybody can keep the faith, we're going to be okay.
Well, you know what? We need people like you, because I tell you what, we just seem to get annihilated in the press, Keith.
Yeah, we do.
Yesterday, there was some Moms for Liberty on 60 Minutes, and I just saw the clip of it. And the guy just drilled them, okay? You're being evasive. Oh, come on, being evasive because I don't agree with you. I love what First Liberty stands for. We got to check something with Danielle, okay?
All right.
I believe Mike Berry's in your group, right, the military?
He is, yes.
Well, but he's got a problem. I don't know if you know that or not, and you can share with him. We told you that. His degree, he claims, out of Ohio State University. I don't know if it's still a junior college or not, but anyway, that's what he says.
Ohio State, that's a Big Ten school.
That's correct. Now, Matt Krause, he's a former Texas representative.
Uh-huh.
I like that. So, Danielle, where were you educated?
So, I went to Johns Hopkins University.
Good.
For undergrad. Yep, and I played lacrosse there.
Oh.
So, yep, so that was back in the day. And St. John's University is where I went to law school. In
St. John's!
All right.
My goodness, I just watched him play basketball the other day, and they did pretty good. Okay.
Yep.
You ready for this? You want a lacrosse question, Keith?
Sure.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Danielle?
She'll answer.
I'm ready.
I was managing a store in upstate New York, and there was universities up there called Eisenhower and some others, and I hired a lacrosse player to work at the lumberyard. And I found out something. Keith, tell me the most exciting play you think in football, the most exciting thing that can happen when you see it happen.
In football?
Right.
Oh, probably a 90-yard, 95-yard touchdown play.
Perfect. You could not have answered that any better from a man from Nebraska, okay?
We don't see him anymore.
Listen to what this guy did. He was a goalie. Tell me if I'm right. And remember, they're getting ready. Got the basket and the ball. That's lacrosse, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot it at the goalie.
Yep.
Got it?
Yep.
He catches it in his net, sprints to the other end of the field, and scores.
Wow.
That's pretty big, isn't it?
That's very big.
He did it three times.
Wow.
In one game?
No, no, in his career.
Oh, okay.
But I knew stuff like that about lacrosse. Well, and did you know Camp Kanakuk teaches that in the summer, too?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you still follow lacrosse, Danielle?
You know, I do. I'm actually on the board for the men's and women's lacrosse programs at Johns Hopkins. So I'm still actively involved in that. And, yeah, I love the sport. It's changed quite a bit since I played. I mean, I have to say I started out in high school with a wooden stick and then moved up to the kind of sticks that they're playing with now. But just the speed of the game and the strength of the players, the size of the players, it's all changed. So I don't know if I could hang with these guys now, but
well,
it's a great sport.
All right, do me a favor, and don't hang up on me when I say this, please, because I can tell from your voice, from your passion. What would you think of transgenders in women's lacrosse?
What do I think about it?
Right.
I think that there is no place for biological men to be playing women's sports.
You know, any sport.
But you talk about, well, this is a rough, hey, lacrosse is not patty cake,
right.
Keith.
It's a rough, sport.
A lot of running. Great sport. How do you keep the ball in the basket, Danielle?
Well, cradling it is the best way to get through traffic to keep it in your stick. But and the women's sticks, I mean, it sounds like you know quite a bit about lacrosse. So the women's stick is, the pocket is not as deep as the men's. So it's actually a lot harder for us to keep it in our stick, and it requires a lot more maneuvering and skill. That's not a diss on the guys, they certainly have to do that as well. But it's definitely a little bit of a different sport for the women. So, you know, and there is a lot of physical contact, although we don't wear the same equipment as the men do. I could tell you I've had some of my most significant injuries in college, at the college level. And so I can't even imagine if somebody who is just biologically stronger, bigger, faster than me, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yep, and I don't want to say anything, but at least you have a stick. Okay, Danielle, God bless you. Keep up what you're doing. It's because of what First Liberty does in America that lets us keep hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle.
Yes, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Hey, look at your time. You can get out of here now.
Hey, you know what? Next time, I'll stay on a whole hour.
Hello. You got it.
Now, there you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
All right, God
bless
you, Danielle.
See you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Danielle.